In this podcast, we're going to begin a series of podcasts aiming to teach electronics. It's resistors, batteries, circuits, etc. And there's been a little skeleton of evidence as I've taught for possibly not 30 years at least electronics. Odd little bits of information filtering in that I've observed, which tells me somehow that students learn in spite of the way that we teach them. The incidents I'm thinking back was way back in 1985. That's an incredible time ago when I was instructing in a university laboratory, and someone hooked up a circuit with the installation of wires rather than the wires themselves as the jacket, and that they hadn't actually realised that there was metal inside wires. That's an extreme case, but there is an example of this book learning where we can convince ourselves that the students have got a real learnt, but they don't have a deeper understanding. And I would not be aware of this had I had not a slightly more different introduction to electronics. My father was involved in as a computer program engineer in Australia's first computer, which was the world's fourth computer, and it involved a lot of wiring and folklore and how to manage valves and do twist pairs and things like that. But more importantly, the thing which was more of an eye-opener for me was called the Electronics Junk Workshop, run by the local council at Palo Alto in California in 1975, so I was a fairly wee chap by then. But for something like, I don't know, 50 cents a week or less, you'd go in and the electronics firms from around Silicon Valley and the manufacturing industries would just dispose of their junk electronic equipment, and you'd be able to play and make whatever you wanted to under the guidance of community volunteers. And so that was a great hands-on experience where you basically discovered. So that was the extreme free form and some other forms leading into it. So if you like, your knowledge of electronics is sort of like a tree, and you've got your roots going in different directions, and we tend to focus on the traditional route, which we measure all the time. And here we go. I'll give a description of how you can discovery teach electronics. Perhaps you will not be able to do this in a school for various reasons, but you should be able to do it when you're teaching kids from home, the home education stuff. So this is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific and explain some teaching techniques. So the first technique we want to get up is the theory of basically what a circuit is. So this is just basically a battery, wires and a light globe, and you form it into a circuit with a switch, and people see it lights up. It's important to do a battery and a light bulb and a switch in a circuit. I won't go into the details of how that is done. However, that's an important first, I suppose, a positive reinforcement experience where where the students first do that, and then they can move on to an electronics power supply. There's a lab grade power supply. There's power supplies which I now recommend with a digital display on the outside, which tells you how much volt and how much current is going through it. So they can do some experiments with that very quickly and start to pick up some information. And then it's actually quite good to actually give them wires with faults in it, faultily connected wires, and see if they can fault test the production of their circuit. Also very highly recommended that you don't give them wires to start off with. Them you give them aluminium foil folded up so they make up their own wires. There's all these things, say a rubber band to hold the wires on your battery, and this sort of experience is sort of a very essential experience to get going and just examined. So you can have a competition where that's the aim of the competition, is to light up as many light bulbs as possible. We've got multiple light bulbs to light up, where there's the aim of the competition doesn't distract from the case that you're looking through your class looking for people who are a bit lost or need a bit of help. So the competition gets people focused and the class ordered, but people who are a bit lost can get a bit of help. And so here we go to the next the next stage, and that is the simple idea of a resistor. And the important thing is to know what a resistor does. And a resistor basically takes, in the most simple form, it takes electrical energy and converts it into heat. So we're beginning to get a few ideas, and I want to for people to actually make their own resistors. So for this is a warning: it does heat up, it can get hot, and they can burn themselves. And this is probably an important part of learning that a resistor generates heat. So for this, you need thin gauge nichrome wire and a length of it. And you need to coil that around a fairly tight form. I won't give the exact dimensions, but it goes straight into a coil of, say, 10, 15 coils and straight out again. And you have to attach wires to that and run a current through it. Now, what happens is that the slow accumulation of heat increases the resistivity of the wire. You don't tell them that instantly, and before long you turn it on and it slowly increases in heat and becomes hot. So you can attach that with alligator clips. However, going down the track, we want to actually convert that into a component, convert a piece of wire into a component. So what I recommend is the use of automotive clips, because that's by far the cheapest and most secure way of connecting wires. So the wire goes into an automotive clip, but you've got a male and female, a spade and a female a section of the male and female clips together. You have to get in with a pair of pliers and loosen them, because they're designed to lock together and stay together in a vibrating car. It's actually hard for students to move through. But the construction of a male automotive clip and bind it to nichrome wire. So there is a way of bending it such it's sprung out. And so when you crimp it, so automotive clips come with a crimp set, a crimping tool. So you insert the wire. In this case, to hold the nichrome wire, you need to bend it in a U-shape and actually stuff it with unheated solder, such that the solder compresses in your crimp to crimp it down. It can be done. And the importance of this creates a component which they identify as the resistor. And depending on how it's built, you'll get different characteristics. So if they use a larger length of wire, if they extend it, it'll have different characteristics. And this is important to know. And so this actually converts a circuit to resistor, which produces heat. And this is a thing to do. It's important at this stage is that when it heats up, you can actually blow it, and it will go from hot to not so hot as the heat is taken away. And then after a little while, it will pick up again. So you really want a couple of seconds movement. The entire idea of this is the actual slow movement of it. The heating up allows the brain to process what's going on. Where is the heat coming from? It's coming from the power supply by the battery, and the actual checking of it. So you've previously done the actual, can they make a circuit? Can they fault check a circuit? So if something's not working, how can they do it? And can they build this basic component? Now, we're not going to continue this very much further, but then to actually introduce into the circuit a ammeter in series with this. So what will happen is that you can, with a digital voltmeter, of a digital power supply, I can only recommend it so much. You have your ammeter in series with it, and what will happen is that they'll switch it on and the current will go up high, and as the resistance begins to increase it, the current reduces, and so they can get a sort of an idea about that. You can also put in parallel with this a voltmeter, around this resistance, and what happens is that as it heats up, the current reduces and the voltage increases around with it. Now, by rights, you probably need another resistor in the circuit to make it stable or understandable. But even then, you don't really need another resistor. There's an internal resistance in your power supply. Digital power supplies, slightly another case indeed. So this basically gives the idea of a resistor, where the people have an understanding of what it is, how it's made, how it behaves, and basically what it does. It converts current into heat. Essentially, that is the electrical energy is converted into heat, and in at least in a power resistor is the major thing that we've done. So this is our first stage, very first lesson to get people up on doing. Again, the number of alternative ways that you can actually do something, this is with wires or with folded aluminium foil, and in some cases folding the aluminium foil around a neodymium magnet gives you, and then twisting it gives you, and I'll have to explain that. So you get some aluminium foil and neodymium magnets, and you roll it in a roll. You then fold over the neodymium magnet inside your roll, so it's in a cylinder. You press the cylinder down, so it's the neodymium magnets in the inside, way down. You then fold, say, 2 or 3 centimeters of the aluminium over again, and then you can twist it, and so you have this beautiful low-cost electrical contact with a magnet inside. Is just fantastic. It's a beautiful thing to be able to do. But if they make it their own thing, and it shorts and it has all these problems with it, it's a way of learning. So it's a interactive learning. So really, you want to have the interactive exploration learning alongside the book learning with definitions and symbols and descriptions, and be able to go up, but also the lack of prescriptive learning. If you give too many orders, although people examining you and checking your lessons say, oh, look, that student over there didn't know what to do, and you say, well, that's actually a good thing. If they don't know what to do and they go around and find and look at other students and ask, they're actually learning. But if you have people examining you as you teach, they'll all say, "What? No, you've got to give them step by step. This is how I've taught." But if you're in the home environment, this is an ideal thing. Of course, there is obviously a danger with heating up and burning, so you may need to actually demonstrate it first and give explicit explanations, show that this is hot, and if you touch it, it will hurt you, and it may even be necessary to actually put a match on top of it, and so that you won't touch a match, and you touch it, and it will actually light a match, something rather spectacular for them to play around with. This is Peter Hill Explains. This is basically a quick podcast to give you a heads up on how you can actually construct an electronics lesson away from textbooks and traditional, here's the textbook, here's the laboratory equipment, which has been used by thousands and thousands of people. Make sure you take it out and put it away correctly. This is more an exploration technique, and it's a technique that I've sort of understood and developed from my own training in America in the 70s, but also from observing many times and spending many hours with different students, and actually sort of discussing how can you've done this, what's your basic understanding of it. And of course, if you're at the stage of fault checking and putting it, it can be a very laborious thing, and that you put them back. My overall observation is that students who haven't had the very good positive first experience, that correction experience, is thank you very much, but there's sort of a negative, you can't help, there's a slightly more a negative viewpoint, because although you might be good at explaining their misconceptions, in general, life's a bit more rough in that they get poor marks, negative feedbacks from various people. And so it's a way of having gentle exploration where making mistakes is a learning process rather than a hurting process. This is Peter Hill Explains. I hope you have enjoyed listening. Keep on thinking, doing and teaching science.